Welcome to the LSC SU Sustainable Future Society podcast initiative. This podcast is brought to you by Alice.
Hello, and welcome to part two of my podcast, Investigating Environmental Crime. In this part, I will be talking to Richard Latgani, who works closely with Andrea Crosta, who I interviewed in part one.
To introduce Richard, he is a director, cinematographer, and the founder of Malaika Pictures. He's gained international recognition for numerous award-winning films. Recently, he directed Sea of Shadows. We here at TEDx Archivorum are very familiar with this documentary. Last month, we spoke to Andrea Crosta, that was one of the main protagonists, and we also watched a short excerpt of it in the intermission last month. But to resume, it's a National Geographic documentary and film about how Mexican drug cartels and the Chinese mafia have declared war on one of the most beautiful ecosystems, the Sea of Cortez. It was executive produced by Leonardo DiCaprio, and it won the Audience Award at the Sundance Film Festival in 2019. Richard has also directed the investigative thriller documentary and Netflix original, The Ivory Game, which was also executive produced by Leonardo DiCaprio and was shortlisted for an Academy Award in 2017. And has won numerous prizes, including the Genesis, the Cinema for Peace Award, and the Golden Panda. And all the films that Malaika Pictures produce really shine a bright spotlight on the most pressing environmental and political issues of our time. I mean, some of his most renowned films also include Escape Over the Himalayas, The Devil's Minor, Jane's Journey, which was shortlisted again for an Academy Award, Vatican, The Hidden World, and Gas Monopoly, all really intriguing titles. So overall, Richard has photographed more than 50 documentaries, of which he has directed or co-directed 11, and he regularly works with the likes of Leonardo DiCaprio and Jane Goodall. So thank you so much for joining us today, Richard.
Thank you. It's an honor. Thank you. A pleasure and an honor.
So to get straight to my first question, I mean, Richard, as I've sort of shown a little bit, all your documentaries are so powerful and eye-opening. You explore unusual subjects every time. Could you tell us about the process you undergo when deciding to make a documentary? How do you choose your topic and what happens from there?
Well, yeah, of course. It goes back a little bit. You know, I started making films and documentaries in 1997. So I've been doing this for quite some time. But it wasn't until about 10 years ago or so that I was starting to think about you know, what topics I really want to focus on and where do I want to go with my work? Do I just want to keep on making one film after the other about interesting topics all around the world? Or do I want to be a bit more focused and actually make a difference? And so what goes into my thinking, and it was really triggered by an experience that I had with Jane Goodall. I was lucky enough to shoot a film with her in 2010. And, you know, her being this famous primatologist and UN ambassador and traveling the world to inspire people to make a difference and to rethink what's going on with our planet, she had that same impact on me. And she really got me to consider my work and what I want to achieve with it. Because she told me, look, you have this talent of making films, but why don't you choose topics that can actually change the world in a way, affect people emotionally, and maybe get them to be inspired to like do good around, you know, their environments or like make a difference. So this got me thinking, and you know, it wasn't until much later, The Ivory Game, which I then was able to do in 2015, 16, that I followed through on that. And the thinking behind looking at topics now, you know, over the past 5 years is really to consider what, first of all, what do I want to spend the next 3 years of my life doing? Because it's always a major undertaking. It's also thinking about what am I willing to risk my life on? Because the films that I have been doing, unfortunately, are you know, quite risky. We get into very dangerous situations. We investigate, we go deep. And so you really need to put all your life and emotion into it and also say it's worth it. But top of the list is, can this film that I will be showing to audiences around the world, hopefully, actually change people's minds about their world, the way they see it? Will it inspire people to rise up and say, I want no more of this, like this has to end, like we have to do something? So the thinking very much goes into that direction, like, can I have an impact? And then of course, can this be a great film? Because if it's not successful, you know, if you choose a topic that people are not gonna care about, that is not sexy enough, it's a terrible thing to say, but you're not gonna engage enough people to actually have an impact. So all this goes into the thinking of what I wanna do, you know, with the next years of my life.
Yeah, it sounds incredibly complex. And I think we forget how long it actually takes to make these documentaries and these movies. But with this in mind, do you have a favorite film or documentary that you've produced so far?
Well, look, the film that I think made probably the biggest difference and that I can think of immediately is, in fact, The Ivory Game. Because that movie, it changed my life. You know, it was this it's a film about the extinction of elephants. And when I started the project, it actually, you know, it started with an article in the New York Times where I read in 2013, early 2013, I read 10 years to extinction to the African elephant. And I was like, what? Like, I've never heard about that. My daughters were 5 and 3 years old. So I was thinking, when they're teenagers, old enough to maybe go on a safari with me one day, the elephants will be extinct. I will be telling them about this amazing animal that roamed the plains of Africa that is now gone. And I was like, that shocked me. And I was thinking, this is the topic that I do want to focus on. And of course, you know, it's not that simple, like, oh, let me do this film, you know? So I had to find a great alliance of people that would allow me to do these films. And so I went to my friend Keith Davidson and I asked him to co-direct the film. We have been working together before on a film called The Devil's Minor 10 years prior. And I thought we would maybe be a great match, him American, me Austrian, and together we can be more powerful and reach more people. Then I found this production company, Terra Mata, based in Vienna, where I live actually, that was inspired by this idea and never heard about it. So it's really like, it's about building an alliance. And I went to Jane Goodall, you know, who I told, like, look, Jane, I have this idea now. I found my purpose somehow, you know, and this is what I want to do. And she was amazingly helpful because she opened the doors to the most important, like, NGOs that were working in Africa on elephant conservation. And so, you know, I dove into this experience and I think it really changed my life. And, you know, last but not least, it was also the first time I actually worked with my wife. My wife is the production manager of The Ivory Game, but also on Sea of Shadows, my last film. And together we were a great team. And we found that our marriage and our family can even sustain these great dangers that come with these films. She's been growing up in Kenya for some time. She was there for 3 years when she was a teenager. She loved this place. She was very passionate as well about the elephants. And she said, Richard, you got to go out and do this. I know it will be dangerous, but we can manage. And together we formed this front where we always decided together, are we going to take those risks? Are we going to shoot in this country? There were countries, for example, where we decided not to go to because people were just getting killed left and right. That was DRC with the Virunga National Park, people, rangers getting shot all the time, shot out of like helicopters and everything. It was like war. And we're like, we will set limits. But this film, when you ask me, which is the, you know, I think this is the one that changed everything and also laid down the path to the follow-up, which was Sea of Shadows, which I made 2 years later. And, you know, and I keep going now on this kind of track, making more films, but it kind of started with Ivory Game. I think that was the big game changer.
And could you tell us a bit about the impact of that documentary? Because I believe that it had a really, really important, tangible impact in fighting environmental crime.
Of course. Well, look, the main point we tried to make throughout the film was that we needed China to stop the legal ivory trade, because that was feeding the illegal market. It was basically the one thing that was killing elephants at a rate never seen before, or not since the 70s, like 35,000 to 40,000 elephants were getting killed because of this legal trade. Now, Andrea Costa, one of the characters in the film that you had on TED already, you know, he kept saying the only person in the world that can really save the elephants is the Chinese president. So we were very keen on getting this film to China, but because this was a Netflix film, it actually, they don't have Netflix in China. You know, Netflix is not, they don't, well, I don't know if it's banned, but they can watch it there. So we had little chance of getting it to be seen, but somehow we had a little help from Jane Goodall, who actually was touring China at that time. And she was telling people about the film, and she was kind of giving them, you know, links and DVDs to kind of watch it and track it. And it was the biggest surprise in the world when about 4 weeks after her trip to China, which was also 4 weeks after the world premiere on Netflix, she told me that there is gonna be some major progress in China. The right people have seen it, and there's gonna be some big announcement before the end of the year. And then I already had basically lost hope, because only two days before New Year's, on December 30th, suddenly we got the message that the Chinese government banned the legal ivory trade in China completely. And at the same moment, we received an invitation by the Chinese government to open the Beijing Film Festival with the Ivory Game. And they were gonna fly us in and have us host the film in Beijing, in the capital, and show it to the Chinese students from the Beijing University and all these people there gathering. And it was just the most incredible thing. Like, there was obviously a deep connection between the film and their announcement and their decision. It probably was only the tip, like the tipping point, you know, the last little thing that tipped the needle towards them banning it. Because, you know, obviously dozens of organizations had worked for years to make that happen. But somehow, maybe our film had this moment where we felt we actually were able to move the Chinese government into banning the trade of ivory, and therefore helping save the elephants in Africa. And that was something that we just, you know, couldn't believe.
That's really, really amazing story about Jane and her sort of undercover.
Yeah, amazing.
The power of Jane. I actually also had the honor of briefly hosting a talk with her as well at my university, the London School of Economics, alongside eight other people.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah. I have a question here. Thinking about this power of Netflix and film as a sort of means to sort of reach such a broad audience, does Netflix commit or give back in any way to the message content causes within your movie?
Netflix directly does not give back, but what they have started to support were our educational screenings and supporting movements that you want to have your film as a tool so that they could make it available. Like, when we started with Netflix in the beginning, they were actually not very much used to doing impact films. Like, they loved the movie, but the impact campaign that we wanted was kind of foreign to them. It was a strange thing for them. They're thinking about movies for entertainment, for having it for a wide audience, you know, the widest audience possible, which is very attractive for us filmmakers, especially if we want to make a difference. But they see the movies as entertainment, as content for their customers. They don't see it like we want to have a political message out there. They're very apolitical. Like, they do show political movies, but they distance themselves from the message. They just say, it's a good movie. That's why it's on our platform. So it took them a while, but they are now, you know, they, with the Ivory Game, they became more and more supportive, and they started allowing us to have screenings at embassies, at the United Nations, you know, in different venues that we deeply cared about, and supported our cause. So it was, you know, it was a good experience. And but for example, the second film, which will probably come to Sea of Shadows, was a National Geographic film. And there, day supported impact and making a difference and having all these impact related screenings that are so important to reach the right people from the beginning. Like they were totally supportive of that. We had an amazing impact producer, Rue Mahoney. She's maybe watching this. She was amazing, like bringing this film across the world to all these important places, United Nations in New York, Geneva, the embassies in Mexico and the Senate. So you wanna make sure when you make an impact related films that it ends up with the right network, or that you have this whole game plan on how is the distribution of the movie gonna support what you want to do and how you wanna have your impact to actually move the needle.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, because I suppose there's both reaching, obviously the key thing, reaching the right people, but then there's also this element of, you know, reaching a lot of like normal or like civilians. As well. Netflix is this amazing dichotomy of doing Christmas movies that I always want to watch and my boyfriend never watches, they're complete trash, and then really incredible, like poignant, hard-hitting sort of documentaries on these really important things. So, but I have a follow-up question. Do you feel the channel, the global popularity of Netflix had political influence on China?
I can't really answer that. I know that because Netflix is not visible in China, so they can't really show the film. So, and China is very resistant to outside pressure. Like actually, if you apply too much pressure from the outside, they will block you and they will fight back. And they're a very mighty country. So it's the wrong approach. And we actually, we had a very big, how should I say it? Like we had a big plus on our side, which was one of our main characters in the Ivory Game was actually a Chinese investigators who worked together with Earth League International's Andrea Cross's organization. So him being Chinese and fighting for the right things and helping save animals and helping save the elephants looked really good in China. You know, here we have a Chinese hero that is on the front lines, risking his life to make a difference. So that was our, probably our in point where we got their attention and they felt it was okay to show that film in China and have it go viral because they looked good in it. You know, at least they had a positive angle to it and they accepted the message that ivory is not good for us. It's not worth it. It's not worth the bad press. We love animals as well. So let's ban it. You know, it sounds simple. It wasn't, but it probably came down to that.
Yeah, I remember that man in the documentary, he kept on saying, I want to show that China can also be, like the Chinese can also be the good guys.
Exactly.
It was pretty powerful. It stayed with me for a long time. Yes, so sort of moving back a little bit, we've talked about this a bit, but what do you see your role as sort of a producer, as a director and a cinematographer? What's your role in fighting climate change and what kind of impact can you have?
Right. Well, look, I look at the work that I do as a tool. And that's, you know, when Jane says everyone can make a difference, then what she means is that everyone has a special gift or has some sort of like affinity towards certain things he could do in his own environment. So my personal strength, I felt, was filmmaking. So I started to use the power of film to try to make a difference and to make, you know, the world a better place if that's possible. So this is where, you know, this is where it all begins. And I see my job maybe to also shine a light on the selected few people that I really think should get much more attention around the world, that should be in the limelight, should be in the spotlight, that people should notice and support. So my work begins as an investigator. I feel like I'm a detective when I start any project. I have to go in and I have to push aside all the cliches and I have to find those special people that will be able to inspire millions of people around the world. That their stories, if they are heard, they will get people to react emotionally and be like, I identify with you. I see you, sister. I want to help you. And then suddenly, you know, this brings positive change. So for me, it's all about inspiration. Like I've worked with for 5 years with Andrea Crosta, for example. You know, we met in on the Ivory game, and then we worked again on Sea of Shadows. He was not known enough early on. Like people didn't know about his organization, and at first, you know, he was sort of the underdog in this kind of environment of giant NGOs that pull in millions and millions of dollars in donations. But I thought what he does is really special because he goes after the top level criminals that are actually behind the poaching, behind the killing. And he uses this special investigation techniques and works with these amazing, you know, people that go undercover and infiltrate the cartels and so forth. And I thought, you know, people should know about this guy. Earth League International is now this big organization, I mean, bigger organization, because, you know, they've grown and they have received more donations and support, but of course they need a lot more support. So organizations like that are in a way the jewels, you know, and when you find them and people get excited, then you're actually making a difference, not only for that organization, but to the amazing work that they do. So this is what I look for in every project. And with the Ivory Game, you know, we had different organizations, and, you know, finding this Chinese investigator, knowing he will be able to inspire the Chinese, you know, or finding that woman, Georgina Kamanga in Zambia, you know, a woman as the top level intelligence officer fighting poachers in the bush. Like I thought, wow, here's a woman doing amazing things. So this is what I go for. I look for amazing characters, inspiration, and the power to change people's, open people's minds.
And on this note, I hope you enjoyed the podcast and this second part, and I hope you'll check out Richard's work. Bye!